My name is Stella Kalemwa, and I'm the moderator for this session. So this plenary session, basically, it's on a godly woman and business. And I would like to welcome you all to this session, those of you who are here present, and those of you joining us via the various virtual platforms. You are all very much welcome. So this session on a godly woman and business, basically, just to give a brief overview about what it is that we'll be looking at, it will seek to answer some questions, which I'll be mentioning towards the end. But basically, who is it meant for? So it's meant for literally everybody. It's meant for the married, the single, the young, and the old. So it is our sincere hope and trust that we'll all find it beneficial. And then why a godly woman and business? So basically, we are living in difficult times. You all attest to the fact that things are becoming more and more expensive. And more, the salary in the home is not enough to sustain us. So we are all looking for other sources of income to enable us sustain ourselves in the homes and meet the different types of needs. And then also, some of us, you will agree that we are preparing for retirement. So we might seek, again, other sources of income to enable us to prepare for retirement more adequately. But above all, we are looking to see how, as godly women in business, how can we go about conducting ourselves in business. Therefore, this session will be answering questions such as, what is God's view as godly? What is God's view as godly women in business? So, what is His view? And then, what challenges do women, and in particular, godly women in business, face? The other question is: what difference is there between godly women in business and any other person who's conducting business? And then, what does the Bible tell us about godly women and business? So it is our sincere hope and trust that we'll find it beneficial even as we seek to answer these questions. So as was earlier announced, for those of you present, please, if you have questions as the session is being unpacked, please jot down the questions. I'll be seated here in front and you can pass on the questions to me, or I don't know whether Mrs. Chakunta is here or any of the organizers. They should be able to eventually pass on the questions to me in front. And then those of you joining us virtually, kindly type your questions on the various platforms that you are on. We should be able to get them. So here with us present, we have Mrs. Jenny Chileshe, who will unpack this topic for us. And I'll just give a brief introduction about who Mrs. Jenny Chileshe is. So Mrs. Chileshe became a Christian in 1978 while she was at school in under Scripture Union. And then she got married in 1988. She's a mother and a wife. She has three children and one granddaughter. She did secretarial course way back at Evelyn Horn College. And shortly thereafter, they relocated to Australia. And then while she was in Australia, she did some work there. And then they returned to Zambia. And she immediately went into a vegetable and chicken business. So as she went on with the chicken and vegetable business, they opened up a lodge, which eventually ended up in being turned into a school, which is Charlo Trust School. So the school has been running since 2004. I'm sure most of us know about Charlo Trust. Yes, and the vegetable and plants business That one, she's been doing it since the year 2000. She's been quite consistent with it, and actually she uses it as a platform to even evangelize to her customers as they interact over their business. So without wasting much time, allow me to invite Mrs. Jenny Chileshe to come and speak to us over a godly woman and business. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I actually had to use the longer route so that I can calm my nerves. This is not my usual platform. I usually speak to children at the school, and I have a lot of advice for them. But for these godly women in this August house, this is something different for me. But nevertheless, I am so privileged and so honored and indeed humbled to stand before you. I think the first time I was asked to come and speak, I thought to myself, I think there are more able people to share on this very, very important topic. My sebele, Mrs. Chakonta, said, no, you are the one who's been identified to do this. So I'm very grateful to all the organizers of this meeting that I can stand before you. Basically, my sharing today is just a testimony of how the Lord has led us. When I say us, I'm talking about my husband and I, because we've been running most of the businesses together. We have been doing the business, I think, basically since the time we got married. But for me, I started doing some business even before I got married. So my love for business started before I even got married. Looking at the meager salaries we were getting at the company where I was working, I decided to start selling scones. And then I would also do some typing work for clients. And that helped me to raise money for our wedding as well as our kitchen party. We did so. And I thought, what a lovely idea. So after marriage, I continued selling the scones and pies at my new place of work. I had to move from Lusaka to Chipata. And even when I got to Chipata, I started selling scones and pies at my office. I think I've always thought to myself, the income that we usually get in a formal employment is not enough. At least for me, it wasn't enough. And I want to buy maybe a bracelet or something, a watch or something. And at the time, if the budget, the home budget can't allow, then I thought when you do business, you're able to make a little bit more to help you. So after Chipata, we went to Australia, where my husband went to pursue his studies. So when I got to Australia, I was expecting our first child. And so I thought what to do. I was heavy with child and couldn't go and do formal work. So some of the women there in Australia, they taught me how to make crafts. I think many of you who saw me when I came back, I used to make some crafts, maybe tissue boxes and picture frames and so on. I was very good at that and I enjoyed doing that. It made me a little bit of money even there in Australia. So I was selling those and raising some money for a few extra things that I desired to have. When we came back from Australia, we were able to buy a house in Emmersdale. And we continued working hard. And then when we moved from Emmersdale, we moved to a farm in Chamber Valley where next to where we are now. And so I started growing vegetables and raising chickens, as you heard from the profile. So from whatever income my husband was earning, we managed to buy an extra house in Northmead, and then we ventured into a lodge. We called it Wheeler's Lodge, and we managed to do quite well there, but there were certain compromises that we couldn't get into, like selling alcohol and using it as a brothel. That was quite a challenge for us as Christians, because we felt that wasn't the way that we should go. In the meantime, we had bought a house in a farmhouse in Chamba Valley, where the school is situated. So we looked at that big house and we felt maybe it was time to begin a school. Some of our friends, the headmaster of Rhodes Park in particular, Mr. Kolombota, he was a very big encourager on the idea of beginning a school. So we felt it was time for us to go into another business. So we sold off the property in Northmead and put all our monies together. Then we decided to venture into a school. We built some classrooms. We felt the big house was enough to work as a dormitory. So that's how we built, I think, two or three classrooms. But after we did that, we thought, wow, this is a Christian school. We advertised it as such, and we felt very strongly that the whole country would bring all the children to the school and would have, you know, a flood of children looking for Christian education. Unfortunately, it wasn't so. On the first day, the first assembly we had 18 teachers and 9 children. And then we looked at each other with my good hubby. At the time, I was a very shy young lady. Maybe I was young at the time. But he used to do all the speaking. I never did any public speaking. I was so shy. I just couldn't stand in front of any crowd. But he spoke to that nice little audience. And then we thought, what now? End of the month, the first month, all the money we had collected was done. So what to do next? I think I remember my husband and I going before our bed, him sitting that side and me kneeling the other side, and we started seeking the face of the Lord. I think if ever I knew faith, that is when our faith really began to work. Somehow, the Lord answered our prayer, and the term ended, and we had more children. By the second term, I think we had about 120 or so, and Chalo Trust School had actually begun in earnest. In the grapevine, I actually heard people say that these Chalo people, you know, they wanted to feed us on faith. You know, they thought faith would give us salaries and money to pay our rentals and everything. But faith did feed us. Faith did get us somewhere. And the Lord saw us through from that time. Eventually, the school started sustaining itself, and we were growing very well and trying to expand here and there. That's how we put the primary school there. Initially, we thought we'll just do day school for primary. We don't want to be messed up with little children and so on. Or maybe we can start boarding from grade 5 upwards. But lo and behold, a parent came with a grade, I think it must have been a grade 1 child. He said, this one you must have here. And we didn't prepare boarding for primary. So what to do? We said, okay, let him stay in our home. He'll be looked after as our child. I haven't seen Peter in a long time because he left Chalo after a while. I wish I could and see our first product of primary school. But eventually we decided to build hostels for primary, and expand and have accommodation for everyone there. So the school was running very smoothly. We were building, we decided to build some hostels where we would rent out, and people would come for camps and so on. The other business we had was Christian camps. So we had a lot of people, including Kabwata Baptist and other churches, camping at Chalo Trust School. So when we had the camps coming in, we were very excited, and we said, okay, maybe what we can do, we leave the primary to the primary section. Let's build some hostels, expand basically, and see that during the school days, we can still have people coming in for camps. So we built, and just after we finished the buildings and we were waiting, we had a whole long list of people coming for camps and so on. Boom. COVID. Okay. Some people know the story. In fact, we had borrowed quite a lot, and we thought, what are we going to do? We thank God that the people we borrowed from were very patient to wait for us until after the announcements that the schools would reopen and so on. So the hostels now were sitting without occupancy, without anything happening. And we thought to ourselves, what do we do next? So we decided that the boys' hostels would be hosted in one of those buildings, and would put the girls nearer the house where we live. So we live with the children, basically, and every night I have to say goodnight to 30-plus kids, because I think basically for me it was a passion even from a long time ago. I'd hoped to be a teacher, but God saw it in a different way. So that's the school. So after COVID, I think that was like our lowest point in the school business. But our faith in God kept us going, and we are delighted to say that the Lord has lifted us out of that situation, and we can thank him that we are now able to just at least stand our feet and able to work in this environment. At the time of COVID, I had been growing plants for quite a long time. I think people who know me, Mrs. Ngala and a few others, they know that I had been growing plants, and these beautiful plants you see here, for a long, long time. But I felt that these plants should just be there for me to see. Some people who have come to buy plants, they see me holding on to the one they are pointing at. Do we want this one? No, no, no. That one is for me to keep. So I'm a holder of plants. So if you come, please don't be surprised that I'm holding on to some of the plants. But I do let go at some point. So I decided, money is scarce during COVID. Maybe it's time I started selling plants. So I started bit by bit. There was a lot of theft. So people were stealing some of my plants. I have beautiful plants. I have different type of plants. Wherever I hear there's plants which have come in, I go there running to try and collect so that I can have a variety. For those who are lovers of plants, I think this is an advert from me. You can. This is the only advert you can advertise in church, at least when you have a platform. So you can come and see me about those plants. But basically, I have a love and a passion for beautiful plants. And I have done quite a few of those. There are certain principles that I have acquired from different places, but the biggest educator of Mrs. Chileshe on business has been Mr. Chileshe, basically. He's a very tenacious businessman, for those who know him. And when they were talking about stress, I was thinking, okay, I have notes to go and share with him, because basically he suffered a stroke, I think because of the stresses of the business world. So he has taught me a lot of concepts on business, and many of you have had a chance or an opportunity to share On this, Mrs. Mgala has been in some of the sessions that we have done, Mrs. Kumwenda here, and a few others I think have been there when we have shared on the few things that have taught us, a few principles which have helped us to manage our businesses. When I heard Pastor speak, I was thinking, wow, it's like we are really moving in the spirit, because many of the things he said, these are things that I believe with all my heart and would like to practice all the time, but sometimes I fell short, and many times I agree with what he was saying. And Dr. Mzala as well, on stress, I think it is really the way we ought to live as Christians, stress-free lives, and I really want to practice what she has shared with us. But here are a few principles which you can write down if you want to, which have helped us to run the businesses that I've outlined. In fact, just recently, not recently, maybe so many years back, we bought a property in Chisamba. On the group that we were at, I was saying I'm coming from out of town. When we go to Chisamba, our phones are switched off. Everything is off because there's no network there. I think that's my distressor, because at least I don't have to hear parents looking for school places and so on. There's no phone call. I deliberately have to drive up a hill to go and make phone calls just to find out what's happening. So when we go there, it's really heaven on earth. It's silent, there's no vehicles moving apart from planes overhead, so it's really our best place to de-stress when we are very tired. So these are the principles. So that place is now being developed as a camping site as well. Hopefully people can drive. It's really rocky, but we hope the road will be okay and people can drive out there and just... Seminar like this would really be no distractions. You sleep there, cook on chako, on kuni, and that's heaven for some of us. The principles that helped us. So desire. The first one is desire. Some of you have heard this, but this is how I look at desire. I look at it as a passion and a longing for something better. Unless this is present in you, you will not even begin. So if you're looking for a business idea or a business thing to do, you've got to have a desire or a passion. I've talked about my passion for plants, and I couldn't have begun doing this apart from the passion that I had. Now, passion or desire is not envy or ulunkumbwa. Those are sinful desires, basically, that you can have. Because you see your friend has succeeded, they have a nice car, nice house, nice this, and you say, me, I must just be like Mrs. Kumwenda. I want to have 10 flats, not even the few that she has. I want to be better. That is sinful. I think what the Lord desires us to have is a conviction or a passion, a desire that you need to lift yourself from the comfort zone where you are. I really enjoyed Pastor Chimba's message, and one of the things that struck me was there was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. I think that I got very clearly that there was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. What was wrong was juggling, you know, all sorts of things, and where you feel sorry for yourself and saying, oh, but me, I'm always so tired. You know, I work so hard in this house, and I provide so much and so on. Basically, you know, sometimes that you can even compete against your husband. You find that in the house there's so much tension because that desire is not controlled. It is going to lead you to sin. So the desire must be controlled, and it must be directed at the right thing that you want to do. So it's basically for you to move from your comfort zone. You're not happy with where you are, and you want to be better in something. So the second thing that you need to do is to acquire knowledge. Do you have knowledge of the passion or desire that you have? You've got to have knowledge. I think as you heard again this morning, there is need for us to read widely, consult YouTube, consult Google, consult Pinterest, there's Facebook, there's, oh my goodness, so many forums where you can find your information. There's so much. There's also books, volumes. I have big volumes of books on plants. Somebody asked me one time, they said, why do you water your plants with warm, lukewarm water? When I'm watering this kind of plant, I will boil the water, mix with cold, or mix with all sorts of chemicals. I have all sorts of chemicals that I've acquired. I have acquired all that knowledge by trying out, trying to test what works for this kind of plant. Then other plants need sand, so I have to look for sand. Which one is the best sand that you can give these plants? Other plants need some kind of manure, and I've also learned that if you use chicken manure direct on your plants, it will burn, and so on and so forth. So knowledge is very, very important. For the school as well, my husband sat down a lot before we even opened the school. What rules obtain in other places? Can we acquire some from there and incorporate them and make them our own? And so on and so forth. So basically what I'm saying, whatever business you are doing, you've got to have knowledge about it. If you don't have the knowledge, then it's very easy for people to gonga you. I think all of us know what the word gonga means. People will, you know, do something to you, or they'll sell you short. Prices of plants, that also we find out from the forums where we are in gardening and so on and so forth. Otherwise, without that knowledge, it's very easy to overcharge or undercharge. So we even know the value of what we are doing. So that's the second principle that you need to acquire. The third one is action. Action. I think just from the word itself, many of us, we know what we are talking about. You can have dreams, desires, and passions, and so on. And I think I like the quote from Miles Monroe. I think many of us know who Miles Monroe is. He was a preacher, died in a plane crash with his wife. But basically, he said that the grave is a very rich place, because the grave is where people are buried with their ideas, with their passions, their dreams, their aspirations. They are all buried with them there in the grave. So if you do not act upon the desire that you have, then basically you are robbing God of the talent that he has given you. Then basically you are not doing justice to yourself. I think the balance in the messages, the way they have come, they are really, really good, because initially it was, you have to do something and you have to be in a place of quietness where you listen to the word of God. The next one was, don't overdo things, otherwise you stress. So don't overdo things, but still you need to do. So they are not saying don't even do anything, sit down and sit back and relax. No, you only sit back and relax after you've taken the action. So action is a very important aspect of your principles that you need to adopt for your business. The next one is persistence. Persistence. This is one of the hardest virtues or principles. When the going gets tough, what do you do as a child of God? Some of us sit back and complain. Worse still, we quit. In the flower business where we are, one of the things that really makes us feel very sad is you bought a plant for 700 kwacha and then it dies on you. I mean, just think of it. How many things can you do with that kind of money? But these things happen. And if you are faint-hearted, there are certain plants that we have, like violets. How many of us know what violets are? Let me see how many are florists here. Okay, violets. They're little finicky kind of plants. We plant them in small pots like that, and they have some beautiful flowers. And those plants are not for the faint-hearted. If you are faint-hearted, go for big ones and forget about those. For some of us who are persistent and insistent and consistent, and whatever tent you want to put there, you can put it there. But basically, there are certain things that are just so, so hard that happen to us. I think for me, I always say that one of the things that really made me feel like quitting everything and just sitting back was the time when my husband had a stroke. I think that has been like the worst experience I've had in life. The day he had a stroke, I was at school addressing an assembly which I couldn't get out of. There were parents seated there and I had to address this assembly. So people were calling me on my phone. Before then, I had seen that he wasn't too well. But I told him, you stay, let me go, because I need to talk to the parents about this. So people were busy texting, calling, and so on. And the phone call I couldn't ignore was Dr. Simwanza, for those of you who know him. He was calling, and when I talked to him, he said, your husband has had a stroke. Go home and bring him to the hospital. And I was coming out of this meeting, parents wanting to talk to me. I said, I've got to rush home. I've got to go home. And I got home. I saw my husband. I said, oh, can you walk? Walk to the car. So he got up and he tried to walk and he was falling. And then I went quickly to him. I held him. We walked. I had to literally just drag him because I couldn't lift him. So I dragged him to the car. And I said, I'm going to drive. I didn't want to be with anyone because I wanted that moment of silence. But I needed to make phone calls as I was going to the hospital. Fortunately, his older sister was in town. So I called the daughter. I said, Kaoma, come to Lusaka Trust now. Nishwant, come now. So I was driving. As I was going, I called his uncle. I called a few people I could think of. And then I had forgotten to call my younger brother as my family member. So when I called my younger brother, I broke down. I started crying now. He says, Nishwana child. I said, your brother-in-law is unwell. Come to Lusaka Trust. So we had a congregation. When I got there, I found Mr. Milapo and I hugged him. I started now sobbing now. I said, this man is going to die. What's going to happen to the business? What's going to happen? I'm talking about this because there is need for us to know what persistence is. Days passed. He was still unwell. Mouth had bent and so on. Dr. Shakankale, male and female, they helped us out. We were able to get him to a place where he was a lot better. And then we were discharged, we went home. But even while we were going home, my mind, in fact, before then, let me just share something with you. Before we got discharged from the hospital, I would go to the hospital in the morning. I was sleeping there. So in the morning, I would be going back home to prepare food and everything, and then drive in the afternoon to the hospital. Other family members offered to help. So as I was driving home, I would be alone in the car and I would put music full volume, and then, full blast. And then I would start praying. I have never prayed the prayers I prayed at that time. I would start shouting, basically. I'd heard some preacher talk about shouting, you know, to God. He's able to handle it. And that's the position where I was. I was literally shouting, God, don't take him away, please. Whatever you do, please do not take him away. And the Lord heard my prayer. My husband was not taken away from this life. And one of the things that I am so grateful for was that his mind was not affected. So he's able to teach, he's able to do as much as he used to do. Only he walks with a limp. His right side was affected, so his hand is not in use. But he's as keen as ever to type on the laptop and so on. But the school did not die. The school
still picked up. The parents brought the children, and we decided to continue working there. And initially, he wasn't able to come to the school and speak to the parents and so on. But eventually, I think he got into the hang of things, and he was able to come and share. And all these ideas of building extra buildings and working at the farm and so on, it's him who has usually said, let's go and do this. And me, I'm following reluctantly and saying, yeah, oh, but Mwandi, me, I'm tired. There's so much to do and so on. But eventually we do all these things. But basically I'm teaching you about persistence. You cannot quit. You can't give up. As long as you are living, you are still breathing. I think it's important that you know that God places us in difficult situations, but still, he expects us to hold on to him, to hold on to prayer, to hold on to making it in life. The other principle that I would like you to know is ownership. Now, on ownership, many of us, we work for others in different companies where we are. So when we are working for someone, usually the attitude is, you see the lights are on, instead of you switching off, somebody else will come and do it. A tap is running, we just look at it, we don't have any interest in making sure that the water is not wasted. Taking ownership of the business or of any situation where you are, even if it is a partnership. Many partnerships in Zambia do not work basically because of this lethargic idea that we have. Oh, it's let Honesta put in more than me. After all, she's got a bigger share or something like that. But there's always an attitude problem that we have when it comes to doing business, even if it's a partnership. I think one of the things that we must realize is that any business, for it to succeed, we must take that ownership. Now, taking ownership means you have to sacrifice sometimes. Even if it means you giving up your salary, if you are on a salary, then the business will go forward. You have to be willing to forego certain pleasures, including salaries, in order to build the company or business. Just a few additional points that I thought of, a few additional principles that have governed the way that we have done our business. You need to be disciplined about your expenses. That is the number one factor. The other day I was talking to my big sister, Mrs. Mugala, and she was telling me, Jen, you must save up whatever you are earning, at least save a proportion of what you're earning. And I said, yes, big sister. Because it's so easy for us to just get in a frenzy. When you get a lot of money, you say, I will expand the business, I'll do this and I'll do that. But there always has to be a proportion of some of the income because we are disciplined. So be disciplined about your expenses and always think of what you're spending your money on. Is it helping to expand the business or is it getting us down? Not when we get the money, then okay, KFC, where is it, and so on and so forth. It is good to enjoy yourself once in a while, but I think the discipline needs to be there. And then whenever you're doing business, always think of a profit. Always make a profit in whatever business you're doing. If you're giving out as charity, this is the expense I spent when acquiring this, and this is how I sell it, the same price, then you can't grow, you can't expand as a business. Sometimes you may have some good Samaritan chip in a little bit of capital in your business, but it's not all the time. So some of us have to grow our businesses from whatever income we are earning from the very business. So always make sure that you make a profit in the business you're doing. Again, always save a proportion of what you earn. I've talked about that. And then again, you have to create wealth by accumulation and consolidation. You can sell some assets and put money together and buy something bigger. I think I've talked about us selling whatever properties we had for us to buy, first of all, the Chamber Valley accommodation where we live, and also many of the other properties we have. We had to sell off some of the things that we had for us to consolidate. Guard your money and your company from loss. It's very easy to suffer loss. I talked about the flower business where you find that without knowledge, sometimes you find all the flowers, they just die. Somebody waters them with wrong things, and almost everything perishes before your eyes. Yes, you can cry out like Job, but you don't have to be like Job, because maybe that may not be the path that God has chosen. The fact that he has entrusted you with that knowledge for a business means that he has given you the ability to learn how to manage the business so that you don't suffer loss. So always guard yourself against any losses that you may have. I don't know how I'm doing on time. This is Akalemwa. Okay. The 5 minutes I have, I just want to talk about certain things that I've put in bold. And I've put these things in bold basically because I'm saying to myself, these are the principles that every Christian needs to have. Whoever is doing business, this is applicable to us. Of course, there are some scriptural references, and maybe for one of them, I'll refer to scripture and talk about that. So this is the first one. Be generous. Be generous. Give as the Lord has given. You be generous to others, be it information or money or whatever it is that God has gifted you with. Be generous. Share with others. Do not be stingy with what God has given you. And I've seen many of the people that I would call affluent or rich, maybe even in the church, in inverted commas, maybe there's no one whom we can call rich per se. But the good thing is that the Lord has blessed them so much that we are all able to look up to them and see that they have so much more. Because really, as a human being, I think all of us have heard this saying, that you can never outgive God. You can never be more generous than God is to us. Think of it, your life, first of all. Would you be alive today if God didn't desire that you are alive today? He has given you that life. So that is the first thing that you have, which is free also. You don't pay for your life. So let's be generous in whatever we acquire. Another thing that I have learned while doing business. Maybe let me go to the second and third, and then I'll go to the fourth one. But the second one that I would want to say is, when you are doing business, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. I think we were told on how to distress sometime that sometimes people will come and they'll say, oh no, let's do this, let's do that. And you know it's sinful. It's not right according to the word of God. So you've got to be a person of integrity. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. When you say you pay back at a certain time, please ensure that you do pay back as much as possible, as much as it is humanly possible. Sometimes the situation will turn into something else, but the onus is on you. Call that person that you are owing money to and tell them, I'm sorry I could not pay you on this day as I had promised, but I will. I remember the other day I got some purples from Mrs. Ngoma. She advertised on Facebook, and I saw, Agnes went to Ngoma. I said, this one is my sister, and she's selling sweet purples. We need fruits for the farm, where I was talking about. So I said, sister, I want to buy 15 purples. Okay, this is how much, and so on and so forth. Can you put the money in my son's Airtel account? Yes, I will. I'll do it today. Day passed, Another day passed. My sister, I forgot. Actually, I forgot because, like was being talked about, stress. I was running to town, running this way, running that way. And by the end of the day, I had not done it. And I didn't have any money in my Airtel. So I called. I said, tomorrow I'll do it. That day again passed. Again, I called. I said, don't get tired of my calls, but I'm going to do it. So the following day, I managed to do it that night. And I was very happy. I can talk about it now because I'm free. Yeah. But basically, like I said, let your yes be yes. Be a person of integrity. Let people trust you in your business. Don't let people say, Badia, no. You can never trust them. So let people trust you. Another truth that you must know is that when God gifts you with all these blessings, they are mere blessings from God. It is not a time for you to show off. I always tell the Chalo children that showing off is for peacocks. God created the peacocks to show off. You've seen the way they display their colors, their splendor. That is the purpose that God created the peacocks for. Human being, no go area. Do not show off. Sometimes it's hard. People don't even know that you own anything, you do anything. Let it be like that. Be humble about your achievements. Do not show off to anyone. The Bible actually urges us to be humble. So if you are a person who wants to display the things that you have done, I've shared the things I've shared today basically because I was called to talk about this, and I don't have any qualifications in business per se, but last week I went to see this couple. Yo, I thought I had seen people who grow plants, but for the first time I was like, my eyes were popping out of their sockets. I could see, for those of you who know, there's something called a barrow cactus. There's a barrow cactus, nobody knows. Anyone who knows here? Okay, it's only me, so that's my privileged information. It's for you to find out. But barrow cactus is a cactus which has some people call it mother-in-law's cushion. I don't know why they call it such a wicked name. But this is a cactus that has thorns everywhere, so you don't even know how to touch it. But somehow we florists have found a way. You put on gloves, you put on what, but you hold it and you put it in the soil and grow it. I have a few of them growing. And I had never seen anything like what I saw. Okay, Sunday's Creations, at one point, they brought these big ones, like a baby's head, in dishes, and they were selling them at 7,000 kwacha one. Okay, the flowers are that expensive. But anyway, so I went to this home last week. Somebody wanted plants, and they came. They bought. We went to this home in Maken, and I saw they had about 100 of them, big ones, and about 50, the ones which are the size of Sandy's. And I thought, what do they do? And palms and whatever you can think of as a plant. Collectors. They were telling me, we don't sell this. We use it for landscaping and so on and so forth. But I'm sharing that with you because I was so humbled. And these people were saying, we have QBE. So I coined that. I thought, okay, this sounds like a very good qualification. They said, qualified by experience. Yes, that's what QBE means. So I've been qualified by experience. So basically, be humble about your achievements. The things God has given you are not for you to show off, but they are for you to share in the kingdom. And another truth that I have learned over the years is that money or riches or all these things, wealth, does not satisfy any human being. At the end of the day, who are you before God? Like I said, all these things, sharing, being humble, and so on, these things will come naturally if you realize that you are but a steward of God's riches here on earth. So these things are given to you not for you to hold and, you know, not share with anyone who comes to you. Somebody was talking about stress of looking for money to start a business. I think this should not even be there in the church. I think people should be able to know, if you go to such and such, you'll be able to start your business, you'll get a small loan, and You have to pay interest, of course. But we should all realize that having so much wealth, having so much money does not satisfy. Only Christ, at the end of the day, satisfies the heart. Yesterday, as we were coming back from the farm, I was listening to this song. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And that is my story. Thank you so much. Oh.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Chileshe, for this very good presentation that you've given us. At this point, I would like to find out if there are any questions from the audience. Okay.
That is a hard one, and it's a very good question, I must say. It's so hard sometimes to know how to handle the workers. In fact, initially when we started the business, I used to feel like everyone was my family and so on. And so when it came to time to part ways, when there was an error committed and so on, I would give so many warnings that the person would be let to go for so many years. Maybe sometimes committing similar or, you know, the same offenses. But there had to come a time when we realized that in business, sometimes you have to be tough. You have to act tough. When a person is contravening the rules that you have written down, or even, you know, continually bad-mouthing the company, the organization, and so on, then that person is not building with you. So there has to be a time when you say, thank you very much. You've worked for us. I think you can go on to the next organization. So parting ways is not a bad thing. Sometimes it will help clean up the company and it will help you to grow as a company. Mrs. Mugabe. Actually, just to add on what Mrs. Gala has said, I think in the past we lacked knowledge, as I was saying. So we didn't know much about labor office, and every time we'd go there, we'd find ourselves, pay so much, pay them their leave pay them their whatever pay. But then we decided, no, let's polish up and make sure that we get documents from labor office itself and make sure that anyone who's leaving, we part on a good note. So most of the time now, we are able to actually just terminate the contracts following the labor rules as they are written down. It's much easier.
So are there any other questions? Okay, as we are waiting for the questions from the social media platforms to be handed over, I'll just give an overview of what Mrs. Chilesh has shared with us, especially on the principles. So firstly, she talked about having a desire. So when we're in business, really the driving force should be the desire and the passion and the longing for something better, without which probably our endeavors may be futile. And then in line with that, she also talked about having a conviction, and she also stated that desire is not envy. So sometimes we might be envying what somebody has so badly, we mistake it for desire. No, that may not be the case. And then the second principle was have or acquire knowledge. And in this case, she gave an example of the various platforms from which you can acquire this knowledge. You can read widely. We can consult, we can use YouTube, Google. Actually, the internet has so much information nowadays. It literally has just about everything that we may be looking for. And then once this is done, she talked about action. We need then to put our desires into action. And in line with this, she said, you can have dreams, desires, etc., but if you don't act, then you are not doing yourself any justice. Mrs. Chileshe also talked about, cautioned us on not overdoing it. So basically, we should just do things according to our means. Other than that, she talked about persistence. She gave an example of how their business nearly collapsed when the husband fell sick when he had a stroke. But through persistence, they managed to keep the business going. And then I think the sixth principle was on ownership. We should take ownership even if we are in partnership. In line with taking ownership came in the aspect of having the right attitude, and also to be able to sacrifice and forego certain pleasures, put in whatever it is that you are able to in order for the business to thrive. She went on to talk about being disciplined. We need to be disciplined, especially about the expenses. Also, in line with being disciplined, she cautioned us on being able to save at least even a portion of what is being made, and also thinking about what it is that you're spending the money that you're making in the business on. The eighth principle was on always making a profit. So whatever it is that you're doing, thrive to make a profit. In line with this, she talked about growing your business from the profits that you are earning. Maybe not necessarily growing the business, but also, well, growing and expanding, which is typically one and the same. And then there was also the issue of accumulating wealth. By accumulating and consolidating your wealth. And I think for those of us that may have questions on where do we get the capital from, I think this can help us, because in line with this, she talked about how that they sold some of their properties to get capital which they then used to start their business. She also went on to talk about guarding against losses by taking care that the business is being run and managed properly. The other aspect was on being generous in whatever it is that we're doing, the businesses that we're in. Let us be generous. And then the other aspect was on let yes be yes and then no be no. And in line with this, she talked about integrity. Let us be people of integrity, because as we run our businesses, there may be temptations to venture into other aspects which may bring our integrity into question. Also ensuring that you pay back whenever you are owing, so that people trust you even as you are going about with your business. The 12th principle was on know that all these are mere gifts. All these are mere gifts from God. Do not show off. Be humble about your achievements. And then I think the last aspect that Mrs. Chilesha did share with us today is that money or riches or wealth does not satisfy human beings. Therefore, we should share with others what we have, and we should know above all that only Christ is the one that would satisfy us. So this is basically a wrap-up of what has been shared. But before I let you go, Mrs. Chileshe, we do have, I think, three questions. And I think we still have a little bit more time. So if you have a question as we are attending to these three questions, please feel free to ask. So the first question here I have, Mrs. Chileshe, is how are you going about making profit if you are selling to a fellow Christian?
I think the simple answer is that your fellow Christian is a customer, just like every other customer. So when you sell to a fellow Christian, you don't have to reduce mtengo waku church, as they say. There's no such thing as mtengo waku church. The other day, Mrs. Mugala came over and maybe just another testimony on integrity. And she said, oh, I want to get this plant and that plant. And when she comes, she commands, and I say, yes, Buana. She's my big sister, as she said. So she got those nice, beautiful plants. Some I've kept, I don't know how many years I've kept them, but I've been holding them. So she said, you are a hoarder, first of all. But I released those plants and gave them to her. They were quite pricey. I put the price that I felt was in line with the worth of the plant, basically. So she got them, and she told me, you should call me after month end, so many days after month end. I'll give you the money then. So I was waiting and saying, yeah, cheke aka, this is what I'll do with it. Of course, acquiring more plants, what else? But anyway, so many days after month end, I just sent one text, Makalamba, just reminding you, you know, very politely. And immediately, I just saw the check. I felt so good. But basically, I'm just trying to say that, you know, honor your word. When you say something, mean it. But price, whether you are practicing in whatever way, always put the price that is appropriate or that is obtaining in the market. Don't underprice because you're selling to a Christian. Yeah? Yes, you can give a discount. For us, we give a little extra plant because you are my friend, so here you get this one.
Okay, so thank you so much for that. The next question is, how are you tithing your business?
That is a very tough question, and I don't know how some other Christians who run business will be able to answer it. But I'll answer it this way. What we've done is we've given ourselves a salary. So from the salary, that's where I tithe. Because the business is not all mine. It's not all ours because there's so many other participants in that business. So if we tithe from the business, we'd basically be taking out the profits that belong to that actual business. So we tithe from what we have ourselves, because it's the command, I think, is for the Christian to tithe, not for the business, unless other people see it differently.
Okay, thank you so much. The next question is, what has been your experience with working with brethren, especially in the Christian circles?
I think it depends on the characters of people. I've worked with some wonderful, wonderful brethren, and I remember one of them who was our last principal that we had. We have worked with him for about 13 years or so, a long, long time. And it was a wonderful experience. Every time he was calling me mommy, and it was just such a good union that we had. It's unfortunate we had to let him go this January because he got a scholarship to go to the States. So we said goodbye, but we have another Christian lady who's running the school now. But we've really appreciated working with Christians, because sometimes things are very straightforward. Sometimes when you work with some non-believers, they want to undercut you, shortchange you, and so on. But it has been a good experience for us to work with Christians. But it's not just the Christians. It's just anyone who has that passion to work and the ownership and so on. We have one worker called Justin who has been with us, I think, we've run the school 17 years, so he's been with us for 16 of those 17. So, middle of the night, Justin, and so on and so forth. This morning we had no water, we had no water. In fact, I was running a little late because there was no water. Open the tap. Hey, Charlie, can you check the water? What? We had no power the whole night, and then no water. Then I was just confused. But we called upon Justin in the morning, and he came. By the time I was leaving, he was already working on repairing that problem. So I think whether Christian or not, it also depends on our testimony ourselves and how we handle the workers. If we have that love and commitment to them, then they will stick around and will be able to achieve more. But with Christians, I think many we have had a good relationship with them.
Okay. The next question is there any formula one can apply to determine profit, savings, and operations to guard your money and business from loss?
Ooh, that formula. Okay. For my flower business, it's changanya. I don't know about any formulas. But I think mainly in our home, my husband is a saver. He's the one who has that hand of holding on. And he will not release the last coin until he sees something else coming in. Take us to ShopRite. I will show you how it's done. And, you know, so it's really quite a difficult concept to adopt. But many people have said from your earnings, 10% should go to the tithe, 10% should go to savings, and then the rest, I think, is what you use to grow the business. So you can use that formula or adopt your own, really. But the 10% is biblical, so we can't argue against that. So whatever you're doing, I think just follow some of those and it will help you to grow.
Thank you. So you've alluded most of the success of your business to your husband, but we do have some single ladies in here, and we also do have certain couples where you find the case is the opposite. So what is your advice in that area?
Okay. I usually talk a lot about my husband's input. I think that's just me trying to be humble. Of course, if you're a single lady or in a home where you don't compromise on finances and you find maybe your husband is the one who is a spendthrift and so on, I think you can still do business. The only thing is, don't do business that's hidden, you know, from view. Do business that's straightforward so that even your husband knows. And you have to try to keep money so that he knows that obviously you are keeping money, because when the rainy day comes, all of you will look like you are not organized when you have a funeral, especially in your own home, and you don't have a coin. I think that makes you look a little bit disorganized. So even as a single person, you can still do your business, and you can encourage yourself. Or there are so many forums, like this one in particular. You're getting that encouragement that you so much need. So you don't have to look for, hey, husband, come and marry me. Otherwise, you find someone from who is not a Christian. So you don't have to succeed in business just because you are married. You can even succeed even when you are single. In fact, when you are single, because all the decisions you are making on your own, it's much easier even in that situation. But God gives us different kind of circumstances. For others, he gives marriage, others not, others widowhood, and so on. So it's not to say that you are less faithful if you are in such a situation. So you can still do it and you can still make it.
Okay. So the next question is, what are your contact details?
If you're writing down, then you can write this number, 0979 480254. That's my phone number. I usually keep that phone outside any bag, outside any place. So when you heard that phone ring, yo, I'm so sorry about that. That was my second phone, and I have a number for it, but I rarely answer those phones calls on 096. So I won't even give it to you, because even if you call, it will be in the bag and it will ring accidentally in the wrong place. So just keep the 097. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Mrs. Kumwenda.
Somebody's saying he's indicating.
They can't hear. Maybe you can stand up and face the audience. Thank you so much, Mrs. Kumwenda, for that. For the benefit of those that are listening to us virtually, Mrs. Kumwenda was just explaining that no matter how little you earn, please ensure that you save even a small portion of it. She gave an example. If you earn a 1,000 kwacha, you can save 100 kwacha every month. By the end of the year, you'll find that you have 1,200 kwacha. In line with what Mrs. Kumwenda has said, I remember during my first employment years back, our accountant then, she was an Indian lady. She gave me advice and said, if you earn, for instance, the 1,000 kwacha that Mrs. Kumwenda has talked about, tell yourself that you earn 900. Forget about the 100 kwacha. That way, it will enable you to save it. So that's just advice that has come to mind again today.
Maybe just another point that about saving. Sometimes it's hard for some of us to save on our own, and we need certain places to help us. Some of us have joined village banking groups, which help us to make those savings. The only thing with village banking is that you have to be faithful, that every month, if you borrow something, you make sure faithfully you pay back so that the group does not suffer.
Okay. Then I think the last question I have here is where I've been asked to repeat the question. The first question that was asked, which was, how do you handle employees considering one Christian belief, especially in tolerating weaknesses and hoping that they will improve? And I think in this line, we got the response that she's actually worked with some Christians for a very long period of time. She gave an example of somebody who they just had to release over the last month or so, who's gone to study abroad or something like that. And then in addition to that, can't remember the contribution.
Okay. Let me just say something. I think somebody has talked about people's weaknesses. I think one of the things that we must realize is that we are frail human beings, and we always commit sin. Just like I do as an employer, so does my worker. And if you, as an employer, you are too rigid with anything that goes, it's like the way we raise our children, basically. Our children commit so many offenses during their time, but we have to have big hearts and forgive much. And that's what distinguishes between a Christian and a non-Christian employer. Let them see the light of Christ in you. Forgive them, counsel them, and try to encourage them to improve. I think we should do more of that than the firing. The firing has to just be the last option, really. Try everything that you can to educate your worker so that he knows that you're giving them chances. So for us, we don't count that. No, this is the second chance, so we are counting now. We are on countdown. Sometimes they let us down. We feel bad that they've done certain things which may not be right. And you know, that's how we run the school as well. Some of the kids, they offend, and they'll do something really big, and you're thinking, this one must go. This one must go. Expulsion and so on. But here comes the child and the parent. They plead. They tell you, no, please, we're going to change from now on and so on. And we give those chances. We always say to the children, you need to come with your dad. You need to come with your dad or your mom so that we sit down with the parent and say, help us to help this child. Many children, we've seen them reform and change. Even the workers, many of the workers that we have gotten rid of years back, you find them coming back to you. Why? Because you showed them the Christian love. So you need to be a Christian even in the way that you handle your employees. Don't be nasty to them.
Okay, and I've just remembered the other contribution that was made regarding the same question. I think it had to do with the fact that these days, our workers know a lot about the Labour Office, and therefore we've been cautioned to say, if you employ any worker, ensure that you give them the appropriate contract, register them for NAPSA, and basically just follow the labour laws. Because once they leave, they may take you to task, and then at that point, you have to pay penalties, and you have to pay a lot of money as a lump sum. So we've also been cautioned to ensure that we follow the labor laws as employers and as business people. Are there any questions before we release Mrs. Chileshe? Okay, two questions. We'll start with Mrs. Nyongola. Okay, so before I allow Mrs. Chilesha to respond to that, for the benefit of our virtual listeners, there was just a contribution from one of the participants that they totally agree with Mrs. Chilesha when she said that you have to be generous. They gave an example of how that Mrs. Chilesha would pack her van with vegetables and go around distributing to ladies. And also on the aspect of paying back, they belong to the same village banking. At some point, Mrs. Chilesha borrowed 100,000 kwacha and paid all of it to the last penny. Mrs. Chilesha.
It took long to pay that loan. COVID happened. But anyway, I think as others have said, I've seen generosity expressed to me as well. And I've seen integrity of living a Christian life before others. I think that's how it ought to be in the house of God. We ought to love one another as Christ loved us. By the way, the ladies I was distributing to all belong to the over 50s. So if you're not there and you're over 50, too bad for you.
Yes, we can take the next question. Okay, so the question here is that these days the labor law requires that you have written notices to show how you go about dealing with your employees. So how would you go about dealing with that?
I think as Mary has rightly said, there's no worker who likes to receive a written note. When they receive the written note maybe once or twice, then they usually even quit by themselves because they feel, no, the next one is a dismissal. So obviously the labor office gives those conditions. But I said as a Christian sometimes you do the cautioning, maybe just a warn and caution. Many times when we are caught by the police, we ask them, warn and caution. One and caution should not be written down. It should be verbal. So definitely, even in the labor laws, if you read the labor documents, there's provision for verbal warning. So you can do the verbal warning, and then maybe you write it down in your diary as I have warned such and such on this day, just for your information. Because this person will not look at you as a Christian when they want to go to labor office. For them, they won't even see the sympathy that you showed in the past. So if you want to keep that account, you can do it on your own in your diary so that when you go to labor office, you show them, on this day, didn't I call you to my office and tell you this and that? You even write down the conversation in brief. that you had. So that can serve as written notice. You don't have to necessarily write to them. I think it's just important that you do as much as you can to reform someone. But if they're not reforming, even just one notice for major misconduct, we have what we call minor and major misconduct. So for major misconduct, somebody has stolen, somebody has, for us who run schools, going out with a child in the school. That one is instant dismissal. Yes, summary dismissal. So those things are applicable. They are there. So if what you need to do as an employer is remove your emotions, because usually when you're firing someone, you're really emotional, you know. Now, so you're there, you know, shouting at this person and so on. I think I used to shout a lot when we started, and that's my amateur days. But I think nowadays, do I even have time? I'm usually in the flowers, and I tell people, come to the flowers, that's where you find me. I will sit down with them and talk to them and so on. So try to see how you can balance the two. Don't overdo one.
Okay, are there any, maybe we take a last question if there's anything? Okay, there's, oh, okay.
For the sake of those in media, I just wanted to add that most of the time, the challenge we have is raising capital when we want to do our businesses. And I appreciate the point of saving, which has been highlighted. But also, the beauty nowadays is there are so many financial products that you can find on the market through the banks, through the insurance companies, and through the Chilimba, where you can slowly start saving up for that day. And you find that when you get that money, especially from the insurance side of things, it comes out as a lump sum, and it gives you an opportunity to start a small business. And with that, you find that you grow. And what I've learned with time, which I wish to share, I always tell myself, I wish I started earlier on in terms of saving. Maybe then I must have thought whatever I was earning was little, and then I had too many things to do and take care of, but money is never enough. So you start your saving now, especially to the young people, start now. As you put aside, little by little, get to know more as how you can grow your money and raise your capital. So that even when you have something, you have a business plan to start with, you already have some form of own capital, if you want. Even if you are borrowing, it's something that will be sustainable and it can carry you forward. Otherwise, you find that to borrow capital and start a business, it becomes a big, big challenge. So start early in terms of saving. Put aside little by little. There are a lot of sisters who are in different institutions who can help you save up. I thought I'd just share that. Thank you.
So thank you so much, Mrs. Chilesha. Thank you very much for the wonderful presentation that you've given us on A Godly Woman and Business. We are really inspired by just looking at your journey, the journey you've taken with your husband. And we've learned a lot. And I'm very sure that you will be receiving a lot of consultations going forward. So thank you so much. So thank you to you too, our virtual listeners, as well as those of you present here for attending this session. It has really been interactive and your attention has been great. I think that we've come to the end of this session, but before we end completely, we're asked to pray for lunch. So can we just pray for lunch right now? Our God and our Father who art in heaven, indeed we are so very thankful for the ladies' rally that you've enabled to happen this year, despite the COVID challenges. We are thankful, oh God, for Pastor Saidi Chishimba, who is here to speak to us on different aspects that pertain to us, the ladies. Lord, we are also thankful for Mrs. Chileshe and all the other plenary speakers. We thank you for the word that you've given to us through them, and we pray that going out of this place, O God, that you may enable us to bear fruit, to enable the word to mature within us, O God, and to enable us implement that which we have learned. Lord, we also accept from you as a gift the food that you've prepared for us, which we are about to go and partake of just now. And so, Lord, we pray that you might bless this food as we partake of it. We leave the rest of the rally into thy holy, gracious hands, praying, O God, that you continue to be among us and that you go before us. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' mighty name, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. We've come to the end of the session.